we'd kind of been driving for a few days, and during that trip, it was actually life-changing because it put us more in touch with what we actually want out of life.
Welcome to the Family Travel Podcast by A Big Peachy Adventure, where we help families plan their adventures, whether it's for a week, indefinite, or anywhere in between. No matter what your budget, we bring you hints and tips from the experts, inspirational stories of families who are living their dreams, as well as must-see highlights from places that we and our guests visit. Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Family Travel Podcast, brought to you by A Big Peachy Adventure. And you're joined today by Michael and Natalie, and today we are talking to you from Bundaberg, near the southeast coast in Queensland. We are staying at a place called Wiper Scout Camp, which is about 15 kilometres out of Bundaberg Central. And we're pretty stoked to be staying here. It's a really, really sweet place. $15 a night gets us a camp spot with use of communal fireplaces, hot showers, a wonderfully clean camp kitchen. $15 a night is awesome compared to the 70 plus a night we've been spending to stay along the coast up the Queensland coast during holidays. So we're pretty happy about that. Also, while we've been in Bundaberg, we have done what everyone who goes to Bundaberg does, and we went and visited the Bundy factory as well as a soft drink factory. If you hop on Facebook, you'll be able to see a little video that we made to commemorate the first Bundy and Coke either of us have had in about 15 years. Yeah. So hop on to check that out.
So today we have with us Sharon and Adam Galway of the Galways Go Round. Although the Galways Go Round are full-time caravanners, what this interview is great for is that it shows that if you can't commit to the stock standard 12 months for a lap of Australia that a lot of people seem to do, or you can't become a full-time travelling person, it shows that how it's not about the time, it's actually about the travel, and just as importantly, the preparation for travel. It's that actually changes your outlook on life and makes you evaluate your values.
Speaking to Adam and Sharon is always a joy, and we find their ideas very similar to our ideals as well. What we love about them is that they are all for developing a community amongst travellers. So if you haven't already jumped on Facebook, and if you're not already following the Galways Go Round or any of their groups, we strongly suggest you do that. They're all for connecting families, and they're also just, they've got so much advice, and they're always so willing to give their time to helping other families get out on the road, or once they're on the road, connecting them with other families so that you feel like you're part of a tribe. They're all for inspiring people to live their best life. So this is an interview that I'm sure everyone will really enjoy, whether you're on the road or whether you're preparing, because there are little nuggets of gold everywhere.
Here is our interview with Sharon and Adam Galway.
Thanks for having us on. Thank you. Well, we're privileged to be one of the first, and we love your material, guys. You're doing an awesome job. So, yeah, kudos to you.
So, first of all, why don't you give us, tell us a bit about the trip?
Sure. We've actually been caravanning since 2009. So, our Condor caravan is actually our fourth caravan. Prior to that, we were in a tent with a box trailer, and we've been doing that since we were teenagers. So it's kind of been the evolution of van.
And as our family needs changed and our family grew, we actually decided that we needed to make some changes to our living arrangements inside the van. So hence the reason why we're in a 23-foot caravan.
I mean, I guess the thing is, you know, like back in the day when Ella was four, our 13-year-old was four, and we were in our, what were we, in our late 20s, I guess. We were kind of like the only families doing caravanning. It was a little bit, yeah. You know, we'd say we've got a caravan and people would look at us like we were really dorky or something. It was quite funny. But I guess you could say we've been caravanning since before.
now it's definitely
it's very
really cool
right now. So who makes Sorry? Up the families?
There's Ella, 13. There's Ava, 7, and Noah, 4. Adam, 42.
He's cringing.
And Sharon,
39.
So
yeah, But just to answer your question, you know, in that time since we've been vanning, you know, we used to really just enjoy weekends away in an annual family holiday back in the day. And then we really started to, you know, change the way that we traveled. So we decided as we went on more and more trips that we really enjoyed that road tripping of holiday. So we'd find ourselves driving up to a place and staying a night and, you know, and then packing up the next morning and continuing on, or just ducking into an area where there might be a beach or a bay or a waterfall or something that we just want to check out for lunch. And, you know, and we were finding that our, you know, our caravan wasn't even suiting our needs to be able to do that and do it comfortably. So that sort of changed. And then we had a trip to Tasmania. Well, we went from Sydney to Coffs Harbour via Tasmania over, yeah, as you do, in the summer of 2015, 2016. And that was a bit of a defining moment. So, but in our lap of Australia, like as I say, we're full-time vanners now, but in our lap of Australia, we left in June 2017 and we'd done a full lap of Australia from Sydney to Sydney within 6 months. And then we continued to travel north again. So we sort of overlapped and then we came back, we backtracked and ended up on the Coffs Coast in January this year.
And since January this year, we've been like a yo-yo up and down the East Coast.
We have. We took all of April away up in Queensland and also Commonwealth Games. We went up to as far as Rainbow Beach and Tin Can Bay. But we've also been, you know, up and down to Sydney. Adam's been to Melbourne. We've been up and back to the Gold Coast. Yeah,
up to Brisbane.
So we're now enjoying still lots of travel, as I say, still full-time vanning as well. But we have got a base at the moment with our kids in school. So
it sounds like a bit of a big change from going from, you know, the weekend away where you're doing a night here, then moving on, doing another night, to doing a full lap. What changed leading up to doing that?
Well, we changed, I guess.
Yeah, we changed as people and just made a realisation that there was more to life than big cities. We wanted more out of life. We wanted more of life.
Mm.
We had great jobs in a city. Both of us work, you know, obviously work hard. We had a good family life. We still managed to squeeze a hell of a lot into our life, but just realised that we wanted more time. So, yeah, we decided that we wanted more time with our kids at the age they were at and just went, that's it. We're out.
We'd actually been planning back since 2016. We'd actually been planning a lap of Australia. What's the date? Is it the 3rd?
Yes.
Yep.
It's the 3rd. We would have actually, believe it or not, left today. Today was actually the 3rd of July 2018 supposed to be the day we left. So that's a bit freaky, isn't it? But that was our plan from 2016 March 2016. And then by the end of January 2017, last year, we made a very snap decision that we were going last year.
Yeah.
Just clicked our fingers and said, that's it. Mm. And we'd had a house that we'd had for 17 years and brought all our babies home into it. And
Regular jobs.
We've had, you know, I have had 3 jobs in a career, and Sharon's
had one
job in a career as well. So we had pretty stable life. We've been together a long time. Very out of the ordinary to look at our friends and family and say they're gone.
How did they react to that?
People weren't surprised. They weren't really surprised because they knew we'd done a lot of travel. Like, we used to holiday, we'd take time out of work and annual leave and finish work at 5 o'clock on Friday. We'd be gone at 5:01 and take 2 weeks annual leave and be back at midnight on the Sunday before we go back to work on the Monday to try and squeeze as much as we could in. So
we do crazy things like drive Sydney to Melbourne or Sydney to the Gold Coast in a day. You know, we do that quite often to make the most of it.
Yeah, our friends really weren't surprised.
Most people seem to say that 12 months is the golden number for doing a lap of Australia. 6 months, I guess, some might seem a bit quick. Was there a reason behind that?
Yeah. Yeah, look, there was quite a number of reasons. Ella being in her final year of primary school and knowing that we were going to re-enroll her into school in a new area, it was a big priority for us to allow her to start the beginning of high school in her new school with everybody else instead of sort of continuing to travel. So we, and the other thing was, is we wanted to allow her the privilege of graduating with her primary school friends of the primary school that she'd been with right from kindergarten, as well as even some of her friends she'd been in preschool with. So we wanted to get her back to Sydney for the beginning of December to be able to graduate. And then, of course, we wanted to be back or onto the Coffs Coast area so she could start high school.
I think the idea around the ideal 12 months is is a number. I think there is an element of that, you know, people can travel as fast or as slow as they want and do different things. And,
yeah,
you know, we've obviously done what we've done and have some beliefs in ourselves that if whatever time permits you is what you need to do.
Yeah.
And we also believe that, you know, with the price and, you know, we've got some pretty heavy stats on our blog and our website of what we actually did and financially what we spent. And it's one of those things that we believe that if we actually took longer time, we probably wouldn't have spent much more money because we wouldn't have done any more kilometres. We just would have been a little bit slower. So, I mean, I think it's one of those things is, it's a nice.
And we would have been schooling our kids as well, whereas we actually didn't do any schooling in that 6 months. We didn't do distance education. We didn't homeschool. We just got a pardon. So we didn't have the issue or the time restraint of having to take time out of our day every day to do schooling with the kids. So that was kind of a benefit. But I think the thing is, ultimately, you know, I mean, we're like, travel is part of our DNA. So we knew that this wasn't going to be like a flash in the pan once around Australia and it's never going to happen again. It was one trip. So we saw what we saw and we know that what we'll visit next time, you know, based on what we missed out. But we don't feel dissatisfied at all. We saw so much of what we see most people who go for much longer see, you know. And I mean, you know, because you can stand there and look at it longer, but if you've seen it, you've seen it.
And you're right, I think, with the schooling side of things, the amount that the kids would have seen in that 6 months, they would have learned so much in that time without a strict formal curriculum. Look. And it sounds like the end of your trip was quite calculated, that when you needed to finish. Sounds like the start of your trip, though, was almost like, wow, something's really changed here. We need to go now, not in 2018. You know, what changed for you? What was the aha moment when you realised that now's the time to go do a lap?
What happened before that?
There were a lot of factors.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors. Yeah. But we had a realisation of what we wanted to do out of this. We had a trip to Tasmania that Sharon was talking about before. We came up the Hay Plain. Sharon and I looked at each other and said, this is what we want to do in life. There's more to life than what we're doing of work-wise. We want to sort of just, you know, so there's been a lot of build-up. There's been probably 2 years build-up to actually leaving and doing it, but doing it with the ideas of not knowing what we're going to do when we came back. So we had no intention at all. 18 months ago, we had no intention at all of selling our home.
No.
We were never, ever
leaving. We never, ever saw it coming.
We never entertained the fact we were actually going to sell our house and leave. So leave Sydney. So, you know, we just, I don't know, we actually met up with another family up in 2017, January, and they did a lap and they were friends of
Australia-wide with Four Inside, Jane and Wayne.
They were friends of ours and they actually moved out of Sydney and bought in the Coffs Coast as well. And Sharon and I, pretty much after a conversation with them one afternoon, just looked at each other and said, that's it. We didn't want to go, but we knew we couldn't go back to Sydney. So we just said, that's it, we're going to move. So pretty much that's how we decided. And within the space of 3 weeks, we left Coffs on our annual holiday, or 2 weeks, we were back in Sydney with the house on the market, getting ready to go on the market, and bang.
It happened very quick.
It happened really quick. So,
but, you know, there were other factors as well. So I lost my mum 5 years ago to ovarian cancer, and that had a huge impact on our life and the way we saw life. And, you know, really we realized that in life we sweat the small stuff far too much. So that really, you know, that was a key turning point in our lives in terms of us kind of getting it that, you know, it wasn't all about what we were living. And of course that meant that, you know, my dad was on his own and I don't have siblings. So that was another reason that our trip could only really be 6 months before we came back to the east coast of Australia, because, you know, he was on his own and, you know, we wanted to be able to be close to him. But also, you know, he was another person that sort of said, well, if I'm going to move, we need to do it pretty quickly. So the wheels got in motion very quickly, and our house went on the market, Dad's house went on the market, and basically our house sold and then Dad's house sold. We both bought homes up here, ours of course being an investment property. But yeah, then, you know, our trip started on the 1st of June last year, which was the day that we handed over the keys to my childhood home. So, you know, that was a defining day in more ways than one.
And I guess you would have had a house full of stuff as well before you went away. It was a childhood home.
We had
a 4-day garage sale.
We did.
We gave a lot to charity, and we had a 4-day charity. We have kept some stuff. We have kept beds, and you know, we've got no dining tables and no lounges and whatnot. No. But
we don't have much furniture.
We've got rid of majority of our stuff, but we did keep some things that were actually quite new.
We've got white goods.
And that was probably getting rid of stuff was a real
therapeutic.
Very therapeutic. And I think for me as well, the other therapeutic thing came for me when I actually resigned from work. That was just like one of those.
Therapeutic or scary as?
No, it was scary in one sense, but it was very like you feel like you own your own life. And I think that was a really good feeling. It just topped off when all the stuff we had planned and ready to go that, yeah, you know what, there's nothing going to hold you back, because that's what it is. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it gives you that real sense of you're actually in the driver's seat of your own life. It's, you know, there's something so incredibly empowering about it. But I guess on that point, you know, I should mention that, you know, this didn't come from nothing. When Adam was saying we were driving back to the Coffs Coast from Tasmania, as you do, along the Hay Plain, you know, I don't know if you guys have driven the Hay Plain.
It's very exciting, isn't it?
Holy moly. I tell you what, those Warren Bungles were just like heaven on earth when we saw them rise out of the horizon. But we'd kind of been driving for a few days, and during that trip it was actually life-changing, because somewhere along the Hay Plain there we actually put pen to paper and penned down our 50 by 50 list, which is 50 things that we wanted to achieve by the age of 50. And, you know, we've smashed through about 40 of them already, and it just changed us. Like it put us more in touch with what we actually want out of life. And, you know, people often say to us, oh, you know, can I see your list? And we're a little bit guarded about sharing it because it's so personal, and some things are so, I guess you could almost say, meaningless, aren't they? Like, you know, I mean, we've got stuff on there like go and get a skin check, just things that we value. And, you know, we tried to make our list not about so much about money orientated things. You know, we didn't want to say, you know, we wanted to buy this and we wanted to buy that. And, you know, it was more around experiences that we wanted to share as a family in that time period.
So yeah, sounds like the, you know, the travel has definitely changed your perception of stuff. You said some things that you still have. I guess now that you're back in Coffs for the time being, how has the travel changed both your perception of stuff, but also, you know, your working situation? Can you see yourself ever going back to how it was before?
That's a yes, right?
That's a hell no.
Funny enough, I'm a chef and I work for an IT company and I'm remote, so I can work anywhere, which is totally why I actually don't like computers. I don't find Google searches fun. I never have. So, but funny enough,
not a techno geek.
I know nothing about computers except how to use the program that I use. But yeah, stuff for us is even our kids, we just use it. Like, I think we became into the habit of buying stuff for just having stuff.
Yeah.
I just want to go out and buy something to have some stuff. So we've just.
But that changed well before our trip. Because we you know, we had extensive trips in the van, in our previous vans before, we already had the notion clear in our minds that we can, you know, let me put it to you this way. A lot of families who travel for the first time pack their caravans and within a matter of weeks, they're going, oh, my God,
we've got our hands up here.
We didn't do that. We actually didn't do that. And the reason is because we already knew what we needed and what we didn't.
Even our kids, like our kids know that if we were saying to them 18 months ago, if we said to Ella, she would have been 11 then, we're going away for 7 nights, you got to pack your clothes, she wouldn't come out with 30 T-shirts. She knew exactly what she needed to take if we're going in the van because they'd done it before. So
yeah,
we're very comfortable in what we've got, and they even learned to get something new, we've got to get rid of something as well. So,
we were fortunate that we already had that kind of notion of, you know, more stuff actually equals more stress. We knew that. We knew that having more possessions means more time managing those possessions. And we also kind of had it concrete in our mind that it's just stuff. It doesn't actually mean anything. So we even, you know, Christmases and birthdays well before we even left, our kids never really received many things. You know, they would receive experiences like show tickets, or, you know, we'd give them something to do, tickets for something that we were going to do on our annual holiday or those types of things. We value experiences more than stuff. We have done for a long time.
Yeah, I think it's funny seeing our little daughter Chloe. She's the same. Like, she was all about stuff, and as time's gone on, she's more about the experiences.
She wants a surfing lesson.
Yeah.
It's even stuff they find, like, you know, our son's a bowerbird. Noah.
What? Give the example tonight.
Cornetto. We're at Sharon's dad's having dinner, and Noah, he had two boxes, and Noah bought boxes, Cornetto boxes, home and put him in his bed.
We've got a 4-year-old who's very similar.
He just collects stuff and puts.
And two disposable plastic cups.
Sticks, and they just don't want for stuff. So
he's a traveling kid through and through. He's a traveling kid.
That's gorgeous.
Our kids have Lego, and they have iPads,
books,
and books, and that's about it, really.
I think your kids and our kids are getting along very well.
Yeah, and there's you know, they're so much happier and healthier for it, and we also see. I mean, I'm a teacher. I've been an educator for too long. You know, the truth is, you know, I see the creativity, particularly in Noah, as, you know, our youngest child who's had all of his life of us living this way, whereas our eldest, first child, you know, we threw every toy and Tinkle Me Elmo you can ever imagine under the sun, every Fisher Price toy, you know, because it added to the collection and all of that. We've been through all of that. And the truth is we see the difference in our children as we've gone through those years, and they're far more creative without all of that stuff.
So we started with Tickle Me Elmo dolls and ended up with Cornetto boxes.
I think Eddie's the same. Our 8-month-old, he had a nappy box, which was his toy, his favourite toy for a while.
I know.
It's great, you know. It's just so awesome to see that they become more creative. Even their play is a lot more creative, rather than, oh, well, this is a doll or a superhero, therefore I should play with it this way. They actually come up with their own stuff. Yeah. So we love that. We're all about that. Well, before we left, you know, we were very much of the mantra that, you know, stuff equals stress, and we didn't need any more of that in our life.
Yeah, I don't think we've changed from our 6-month lap. I think we changed well before that. It's just reiterated to us that it's the right thing for us.
For us, it was the same, that while we've been traveling, it's reinforced that. But for us leading up to traveling, getting rid of a lot of our things, de-stressing ourselves by changing our working situation, you know, leading up to the trip was almost as important as taking it, because it just completely changed our life and our values and our perception of things and those things that weren't important to us.
And the thing is, Michael, is once you've made that transition, you can never go back. You know, when you've moved through that process of thought, and I guess it does make you see the world differently. As you've alluded to, it changes your relationships with people, but it's one of those things that you just can't ever reverse, I don't think. Like, once you've you've seen the world differently, then it, that is how it is.
I think sunrise and sunsets is one of the things that you just take for granted when you're going to work every day. You're doing this, you're doing that, you get dropping kids off at dancing, you've got soccer training, you're working here, you're cooking dinner, you do it. You never look at it. I said, you know, when you, we don't hardly watch any TV, and we, you know, we'll go outside and on a nice night and watch the sunset. But it's free. You know, it's different every night and it's free. So it's just, that's one of the things I just think they really.
Or watch a campfire.
Yeah, with a bush telly.
Well, at the moment, actually, we're renovating our investment property and there's a wood fire heater in there.
So we sit around.
So we found that very entertaining. We gather around with our camp chairs.
Yeah.
Stoke the fire and sit there, and that's our entertainment.
So you're renovating a property, and what's happening with the caravan at the moment?
Well, we're in it. It's still home. We're right at this moment where we're parked on the front lawn, sitting in our caravan.
So we actually still had the option to move beds inside the house and live in the house, but we don't. We actually we're still in the van.
We're more comfortable.
So, you know, we go in there and do work when we need to do stuff around the house, and we don't cook in there because we cook in the van. We're just living in the van, but the house is just behind us at the moment.
It's a powered site. Yes, but let me tell you, I mean, obviously it's been a long time since we've had the responsibility of a house in this sort of way. And I tell you, some of the things that have just come up for us over the last few weeks just being here,
it's time to get off the front lawn.
We just want to go back.
Are your plans to renovate the house and continue on, or are you renovating the house to move back into it? What are your plans for future travel and your future selves?
No,
we're not bailing again. We've decided to we're renovating to put it back to lease, and then we do have a role where myself as I can go anywhere and work, and we've got a couple of other things that we do business wise. So therefore, we still sort of need to be free. And we're happy just to live. And we've even put it to the kids. We sat them down and had a family conference one night and said, right, this is the options. We move into the house or we stay in the van. What do you guys want to do? And they, all three of them said, we want to stay in the van as well. So
it was unanimous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I mentioned before, our kids are in school. And whilst we're quite comfortable with taking them out occasionally if we need to, we see this as a pretty important year, particularly for Ella as she settles into high school, and for the other two as well as they settle into their new surroundings. But, you know, we wander in the school holidays. Like we went away for the month of April, so we took them out of school for a couple of weeks there. We've got quite a lot of plans, haven't we, between now and the end of the year, where, you know, we've got plans to, you know, we're going back up to the Sunshine Coast for the Families Travelling Australia event, which is the 23rd to the 26th of October. So the kids will be out of school then. But we've also got lots of other trips where, you know, there's sort of might be days or weekends or so on, that unfortunately with this renovation and the holdups that we've experienced with it, we were actually hoping, we had two things on the agenda that we were tossing up to do this July school holidays, which was either the Cape or go snow. Down to the snow. Yeah. We've got some friends down there, but unfortunately our renovations have been put back, and which means that we're grounded for these holidays. But on the upside, we've got a lot of friends and people who we've met in our travels who we've kept in close contact with who are passing through here over the next couple of weeks.
So you have obviously seen a lot of Australia. Where would you say your favourite spot would be if you'd recommend everyone go visit?
Look, there's probably a handful. I couldn't narrow it down.
It's really hard because you go somewhere and it's a cracking day, it's beautiful sunshine, not a breath of wind, beautiful water, you rate it highly. You go to the same place 2 days later, it's a southerly or a westerly or an easterly blowing, it's, you know, it's cooler and whatnot, you don't have as good a time. And the people
you
meet.
It can also depend on the people, you know. Some of our most memorable, I mean, take Broome, for example, you know, a lot of people, you know, you could almost say 50-50, people kind of love it or they hate it. Kakadu is another one. They love it or they hate it. But, the truth is
we loved it.
We loved both of those places, and for different reasons. You know, Broome, we loved. It was also, we just had, you know, it was like a big family reunion. There were just traveling families that we'd met the previous few months that were all kind of ended up there at the same time. We met other families who were coming up the West Coast. So it can depend. But to answer your question, I'd probably have to say the top end would be one of our big favorites. We love the top end. It's so rich and raw, yeah. And it's Australia's exotic holiday.
When you come across from Queensland and turn, get to Three Ways and turn right from there on up, it's just every day there's a new adventure, yeah. And something different. So, yeah.
Yeah. So we had an amazing time there. I mean, we love Tasmania. Tasmania is just, it's a must-see.
Yeah, Carrageenie.
Carrageenie's a must-see, and probably Cape Legrand would be another one.
Tasmania is the only one out of those we've been to, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tasmania
was
amazing. Another stretch of coast that doesn't get the accolades that I believe it should is from Wilson's Prom to basically Wollongong. You know, you come up that east coast that way, some of the spots around that area are absolutely beautiful. Narooma and Narooma Inlet.
I've voted my favourite place in Australia.
And it was just a drive-through.
Right, that inlet, yeah. That Narooma Inlet.
The breakwater, everything.
Unbelievable waterway. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm going to stick my neck right out here and just say I think the whole East Coast is very underrated at times. I mean, the West Coast is amazing, but I have to say, you know, the East Coast has got so much to offer, from the hinterland, the river systems, the oceans. There's so much to offer.
And what I love, Sharon, is that you always have a recommendation. I think the whole way up the East Coast has pretty much been determined by places that you have said have been good, and you've been spot on every time.
We have definitely spent a lot of time going up and down the East Coast, obviously, with the travels that we've done and, you know, having been based in, on the East Coast. So we have seen a lot of it, and it's been our mission over a long amount of time. We have a map that we've been tracking all of our travels as a family since Ella was born. And if there were places on that map that we hadn't ventured into when we'd be passing through, we'd also always make a beeline to go in and check it out. So, but the area that Adam just mentioned is an area that we actually hadn't ever really explored, and we just couldn't believe that we'd overlooked it. We'd just never quite gotten down that far from Sydney. And if we were heading to Melbourne, we would just hit, you know, we'd just hit the toe straight down the Hume. So, it's definitely a must-see. But as I say, the East Coast really does have so much to offer, as does the West Coast. So, but I think sometimes it's overlooked. You know, people talk about the population on the East Coast, but really I think it's because it's just got so much to offer. It's a great place to
be. Yeah, I guess there's a reason why it's so populated, because people like it here, because it's good.
I think we've fallen in love many times. Most of the time it's a sunny day and the sky.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you guys will find as you go around, it's often driven by the weather or the people that you meet.
So if there are other families out there who are thinking of making a big life change or looking at traveling for an extended period of time, if there was one bit of advice that, you know, you could give them, what would it be?
I think it's really important to be very clear about what you want. And I think it helps to be on the same page as other members of your family. I mean, those who you're traveling with. I mean, those who aren't traveling, that's unfortunate for them. But, I mean, it's quite often that I read families or people will post and say, how do I get my partner to want to do this? Well, the truth is you can't. Well, I can't say can't because I'm not in other people's shoes, but you know, I think it would be very hard to be in a situation where one partner really wants to do it and the other doesn't, or even your children. It's really important that you have your children on board. That's important. I think you've got to be clear about what you want and how much you're willing to sacrifice for it to happen. So, you know, are you willing to sell your home and relocate after? Are you willing to, you know, do you want to rent your home out? How do you want to school your kids? So having all of those things, I mean, we were really fortunate in that our leading up to our trip was like an evolution anyway that we were both on. So we were both, when that time came on the 28th of January last year, where it was that aha moment, we literally looked at each other across the dining table in the presence of a real estate agent and went, that's it, done. You know, there was no need for discussion. So I think we're probably pretty fortunate in that respect, but I think it does help if you've got all members of the family who are in agreement.
I think Natalie, it took her probably at least 3 minutes to convince me to do this trip. So.
You were hard to get across the line, clearly. That was a 2-minute
YouTube video. I'm like, wow, you can do this?
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I think obviously you guys were in that situation where straight away you were both like, yep, yeah, let's do this. But, you know, I do think it's harder when there's a situation where one's dragging the other. We have seen that. We have seen even, you know, kids who aren't enjoying themselves, and that's okay. I mean, that's people, you know, like we're not all the same. We're not all cut out from the same mold, but I think it makes it easier to bite off such a big trip if everybody is on the same page. And I would say to people who perhaps are in a situation where they're not sure about whether they want to make a drastic life change, stick your big toe in. You know, we didn't, whilst it may seem as though we jumped in boots and all, the truth is we didn't. You know, we had been traveling for a long time this way. You know, we knew the type of holiday that suited us. We knew the type of adventures we enjoyed as a family. We knew our commitment to our goals, and that just made it easier. So, you know, I think stick your big toe in and have a dabble if you can, and just find out if it's for you, because it'd be pretty awful to get out there and go, you know what, this is, we've really done the wrong thing here.
I think with some people as well, it can seem all a bit daunting and impossible, but I don't know, once you break it down and you have your goal in mind, there are ways around it, which is why
very possible.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Yeah, you know, put those goals on paper is probably always been our number one bit of advice, is when your goals are on paper, and it doesn't mean they can't change, because ours changes all the time. You know, there's things, as our values change, Adam used to want a WRX.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
It was like
a Ferrari caravan.
Yeah, that's right. It's just sort of like, yeah, nah, that's not me anymore. But when you've got them on paper, I think it just helps.
And you've got to reevaluate. And just because you write it today doesn't mean it. You have to follow through with it in 12 months. It can be, it can change, because you change. You just got to be willing to change.
One of the things that we love about you guys is that you're all about building a community around travelers who are doing this and encouraging others to do it. Can you tell people who are listening today where they can find you and what you guys love to do with your Facebook groups and whatnot?
Yeah, look, we have a couple of Facebook groups, Caravans and Kids Travelling Australia, and it was fundamentally set up to try and connect up or organise meetups with families on the road. And obviously that was a plan, you know, we were getting ready to go. So I was sort of hopeful by starting that group that we'd be able to connect with people. You know, there was a sense of community. There was definitely a lot of families who were connecting on social media, you know, around their trip. But I remember putting out the call for a catch up in Darwin, and there were, you know, sort of not that many people kind of around or sort of responding. But we knew that other families were there. We did know that because we were meeting them, we were seeing them, we were hearing, you know, we kind of kept missing people. Like there was one family that we'd actually stayed in several caravan parks with at the same time and never even met them. Whereas if we'd have had a connection through some type of Facebook group or something, then we would have known they were there. And we just kind of got over that and wanted to just lift the lid on it and say, well, hey, let's all go follow each other. And then we know where other families are and, you know, we can all connect. So we use Caravans and Kids Travelling Australia Facebook groups as a platform to connect other families. we were having regular Facebook Lives on a Friday night to be able to connect families. And
when we say regular Facebook Lives, we actually had other families going live on the page. So we didn't care about if you had 200 followers on Facebook or 10,000 followers on Facebook or whatever you had. We just decided that, you know what, everyone's got a story to tell. We're all very similar but very different. Mm. So let's find out why everyone's doing what they're doing as well. So that's what we did.
Yeah, so we gave other families an opportunity to go live in our Facebook group and, you know, to share their story, but also to help connect others. And we're pretty proud of the fact now that we see people all the time right around the country organising catch-ups. And, you know, we initiated by having a few just informal catch-ups, just saying, we're here, who's here, you know, come and meet up. And now we're seeing them pop up right around the country. So for us, it's all about community and connecting with others. Yeah, I think that that's worked really well. We do also have another Facebook group called Wandering Tribes Travelling Australia, which is it's probably the most unique caravanning and camping Facebook group for an Australian audience. It's catalogued. So where most Facebook groups, they, you know, families will post to the wall and then they're, you know, they might share a blog post from their own Facebook page or whatever, and pretty quickly it gets posted and pushed down the feed and unable to be found again. Whereas with Wandering Tribes, we've organised it into albums so people can post their link in the appropriate album and then it stays there forever. So, you know, as new people come onto the scene, or, you know, for that matter, anybody who's already in it, they're looking for some specific information, they can go to that album and find a number of links from lots of different bloggers, travel bloggers who have posted their information.
Awesome. We'll link to all those in the notes for anyone that hasn't come across you guys.
Awesome.
Just wanted to say thank you very much, guys. This has been absolutely sensational. And what I love about chatting to you guys is it's not just about a trip around Australia and seeing things. It's actually about how, you know, you guys have made what's most important to you take, you know, the front in your life, and you've put the most important things first. So I hope a lot of the people who hear this interview get a lot out of it, and it might change how they view things as well.
Oh, cheers, guys. Thanks for that.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to catching up with you sometime soon.
Thank you for listening to A Big Peachy Adventure, Families Travelling Full Time. What drives us is hearing of those we've inspired to simplify their life and take the first step towards their travelling goals. So please, if you get any value from what we're doing, the biggest reward we could ask is that you share this podcast with your travelling buddies. Don't forget to click subscribe, and also please leave us a review. 5 stars hopefully, but if not, that's okay. Please leave a comment and let us know what we can do better. If you'd like to connect with us personally or have any questions, you can find us on Facebook at A Big Peachy Adventure. See you on the road and happy travels.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.